Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Matheny. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show. Mark, did anybody tell you we're one of the coolest hosts on the internet?
I heard that rumor.
Yeah, I heard that too. Hi, Mark, how are you?
Waskily Wabbit, reporting for duty.
Really good, really good. For those of you who don't know, I'm Iggy Garcia.
And for those of you frightened in a corner, I'm Mark Matheny. Also known as Two Fishes Astrology, also known as Waskily Wabbit.
I just had this image of you, this rabbit riding these two sharks, like Poseidon riding the waves, with your trident in your hand.
I could make up a whole zodiac wheel just of all my different nicknames.
Oh, jeez, man.
I'll have to do that. That would be funny. Zodiac wheel with the two fishes and a rabbit and an alien and a.
You could have a whole comic book series, man.
I could
have your own Justice League or your own Avengers.
Instead of 12 monkeys,
the 12th. What's the hundredth rabbit?
Yeah, the hundredth rabbit theory. Yes,
I teach him how to wash his carrot.
Right.
And all of a sudden, all the rabbits are all over the country, all over the world, are washing their rabbits, their carrots. They've never had any interaction.
If a carrot grows in the woods and there's no rabbit there, does it still make a sound?
For those of you who did not know what the 100th monkey concept is, that's what it's about. In the short of it.
Actually, I just missed the cutoff. I was the 101st monkey.
101st.
Yeah, I just missed the sign up date.
Are you the one that will start eating cabbage?
No, that won't happen. Yeah, that'll happen right after I start eating kimchi.
Or onion. Yeah, kimchi. Why would this rabbit eat kimchi? He's alone.
Because he's the 101st rabbit.
He's the 101st rabbit.
Yeah. Think we've officially lost everyone already?
I don't know. We're just we're slap happy today. I was in New York, you know, visiting with my son. It was an interesting time to hang out in.
What part of New York? Like,
are you
Manhattan
with,
or?
Jeez, no. Near, it's near Manhattan. Yeah, it's on the island of Manhattan. It's on 145th Street. So I forget that's, is that Harrison Heights? Something like, it's something up that way. It's near Yankee Stadium. Fairly close to that.
The original, the real Yankee Stadium.
Yeah,
the
original.
The new.
Right, right.
Multi.
So it's by the George Washington Bridge in that area. Mm. So if anybody's familiar with that area, that's where my son's living. He's living in the kind of like a Latin Quarters type place. Mm. So it's really nice.
Cool.
And
he's attending a university for acting.
Yeah, it's called Cap 21. He's studying. It's a conservatorium where they teach kids. It's very specialized teaching on musical theater and dance and different types of acting. It's a combination of all. And it's one of the well-known ones around the country, and it's kind of exclusive. You have to be invited to go there and audition, and so he had to put in his video and present himself, and so it was a big deal. It was lots of big money. Wasn't cheap, thank God for scholarships.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome to be, you know, he gets invited to...
He has to maintain a grade average, you know, in order to maintain his scholarship.
Do they take like regular like classes? Like
no, it's all
specialized.
Acting, it's all acting and dancing and everything. It's very specialized.
But
they
get
that.
Graded and stuff.
Oh yeah,
on.
They get graded. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. If you fall below a certain grade, they say goodbye. Basically, they want people who are really serious.
Yeah.
And people who are gonna do it, and so it's a dedication. He wanted to do it, and it's one of those things that when he was in high school, he played soccer like my other son, and he's very good. But he was trying to balance all these different activities, and he just came up to me one day and said, "Hey, Dad, you know, I want to act. You know, I would rather be a musical theater actor than..." So maybe there's not a lot of money in it. Maybe there is. You know, it's kind of one of those percentage games you play with your kids. And I said, well, you do what you love. So he gave up soccer and he followed that path, studied. He was in all the musicals in high school, and then he was the lead his senior year. They did a show called In the Heights, which was actually very close to where he's at now, where he's living, which is kind of ironic. It's kind of a very serendipitous moment. So I was really proud of him for doing that. And but yeah, this weekend they actually, it's kind of like their grading period, the end of the grading period, where the parents are invited to see what they've been doing this whole time.
Oh, okay.
And so basically they did like these little mini productions. They're probably about 45 minutes long. They go through this set of songs and stuff, and they get to show, and the teachers get to grade them and evaluate them. And it's they do three of them, so it gives them a chance to make sure, because they, but everybody did a great job. It was fantastic. It was two groups, and it was really beautiful to see the progression of the kids. And the kids got to meet us. They kept saying, "The Garcias are coming. The Garcias are coming." That was like the whole. it was hilarious. They're like, "Is Papi Gino coming?" Because they love his posts on Facebook.
Oh.
And then they crack up on all the Instagram posts that I post, because I always put hashtag GV on it. And all the zany things that we do, and they watch our drum circles. These kids watch everything that we do. It's kind of funny. As a collective, they talked to us a little bit about it.
Oh, really?
So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
So, you know.
So our drum circles are being watched at a prestigious New York University acting school.
It's just funny. They're like, we really? They were like kind of starstruck a little bit. It was kind of cute. I felt stupid. They're like, "We love your post, Mr. Garcia." And they were just like, you know, like they were like little kids, like twisting their fingers around as they're talking to you. They won't look at you. "You're just so hilarious." And they're like, "Yeah." You see what my wife says.
Right.
You see what my friends really say, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah. It's not as hilarious as you think. But there, it's entertainment. I guess I'm an actor as well. So, like my son falls in a different footsteps. But
actor, singer, dancer, musician.
Yep, there you go. So.
Just, Magic Panda.
Magic Panda. Dancing around. As my friends drum and sing and dance. We all are in their Magic Rabbit. We have Magic Lion. We have Magic Crows. Magic Eagles. We have it all. We still need to give Mary a name.
Yes.
You just can't call her Magic Mary.
Right.
Well, maybe we can.
Mary needs a name.
Yeah. Mary give her needs a name.
We'll have to. What's her one outfit she wears with the. It's a cat costume with the bot. Like she wore it at Dude Operator.
Oh, yeah, I guess it was a cat.
We'll have to.
Did it have a name?
I forget what kind of. I don't know. It was like an
Ocelot. Well, we won't call it a cat lady or anything like that.
We'll have to find out exactly what kind of cat that outfit was tailored after. And
yeah, absolutely. There was some purpose behind it. I just don't remember. But yeah, so we're back. So how was your weekend?
I have no short-term memory anymore. it was good. We did the ULE drumming Saturday and Sunday, and then we spent some time walking around there, talking to a lot of our friends. Got to say hi to Thomas Moon Eagle, who was on our show last Tuesday, mm-hmm. and Matt Michaud, who was his birthday, mm-hmm. and... let's see. Talk to Tom Stones. Tom Benedict, I think. And he did a little stone reading for me. It was amazing.
Really?
And wow. He's actually gonna have him on my show.
Nice.
He's the only crystal rock gem person ever to be on Coast to Coast AM.
Really?
Yeah. So if you don't know, I quote Coast to Coast all the time. If you don't know, it's Coast to Coast AM is the longest running overnight radio show, like in radio history.
Wow.
I mean, it gets over 2 million hits per night. In fact, a lot of people end up guests on there. Actually complain a little bit because their servers get blown up because they get so many hits.
Wow.
So if you get on Coast to Coast, that's like the in the paranormal metaphysical realm, that's probably the holy grail.
Cool.
Because Coast to Coast is legend. It used to be known as the Art Bell Show, and now George Norrie is the main host, and George Knapp is on there. And I actually got to meet George Norrie. He was here at a conference a couple of years ago. So I've tried a couple times to get on there. So I will eventually get there one day.
I love that show. It was just on so late.
Thing is now for like $5 a month, you can have the podcast downloaded.
So
I listened to.
I remember when they had one of Art Bell's maybe last shows. They were asking for time travelers to come to the show. You remember that one?
Yep.
And I don't know if anybody ever called in and said they were time travelers. I don't remember.
Oh, yes.
Someone did call in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But I remember that show. I was like waiting and waiting for somebody to call in. And I must have fell asleep because it's like, man.
Yeah, I can't stay up till.
Yeah. It took us some time to get there, I guess.
2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or 1. I think it comes on at 1 a.m.
It's 1 a.m. now.
But yeah, I just sign up I get the podcast so I can just go in and listen to them. Yeah, and it's actually really cheap. So I usually don't listen for a while, and then I go through like 1 week and listen to all the shows from the previous month that I wanted to hear. Lots of great topics on there.
So you know I have Instagram. Do you have Instagram?
I set it up. You guys helped me set it up. I've not really, I don't know if I finished setting it up.
It's another social media site. But it's more picture gear oriented, and you can actually doctor up your pictures and make them look nice. And then you put hashtags, and certain people who have some similar interests will find those hashtags, and they'll pop up. Well, it's kind of funny. I've been doing that with black and white photos and the gardening I'm doing. But I found this site today. It's called takeoutyourgarden.com. It's a kind of like a campaign about creating these little mini gardens inside. Like, well, right here, they're using Starbucks beverage cups, the ones that are like see-through with a little dome on it.
Okay.
And so they're making all these little gardens on it. It's really cute. So, and I've always loved terrariums, too. The terrariums are really awesome. I've seen one in a big bottle where they just create this. They plug it up and they just everything just grows normally, kind of like being in its own little world, little planet. So terrariums are really interesting, and I find them very fascinating. So those are just a few little things that you can find being on Instagram. But, Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if my Instagram, if I did finish setting that up or not. Kind of floating. So yeah, I haven't got it. Is that the one where the picture disappears?
After? Oh no, that's Snapchat.
Oh, snap. Okay.
I'm not too much into that one.
Yeah,
that's kind of kids. They do nasty stuff on it, and then it disappears.
Hope unless someone captures a screenshot.
There's like a contest within Snapchat. If you can capture within like 3 or 2 seconds, it's there. Then you get. I don't know what happens with it. It's just weird stuff. I listen to the kids talking about it all the time. But and there's a way to capture your pictures regardless. It's called the NSA.
whether you want them captured or not.
I was watching a show on HBO about that. They were talking about the NSA and Snowden. This guy, and he was interviewing, he's a comedian, and he does a show on HBO. It's like 11:30 in the evening, it's on Sundays. God, I forget the guy's name. But he interviewed Snowden. He went to Russia.
It's not Bill Maher, is it?
No, not Bill Maher. Oh. It's before Bill Maher's show.
Oh.
He's an English guy.
Oh.
And so he's doing the interview, walks in, he's looking around for bugs and the, you know, like wiretap bugs and the wherever he's at in Russia, and it's really comical. Snowden walks in, talks to Snowden, he interviews him, and he starts saying, "Hey, Snowden, so you think you do this again?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, absolutely." And he goes, "You know, most Americans don't care that you told the world that their emails were being read." And he's like, "Really?" So he interviewed all these people, and he played the interview on the computer laptop, and everybody's like, "Who's Snowden? What? What are you talking about? My emails, I don't know." You know, it's just kind of like really funny. But Snowden was talking, and he's really serious about what he did. You know, he believed that what he did was important. But this comedian guy just keeps talking to him, and he goes, "Well, you know what? People are more important about their private parts than... the NSA are looking at your private parts."
Right.
You know, so the guy says, "Well, you know, the NSA looks at your pictures, any pictures that you send." And so he's trying to prove this point that people are kind of when they're disconnected from something and they don't understand, you know, what the intricacy, but if it's something very personal to them, to, let's say, a pictures of them being, you know, taken and downloaded and used, there was more response to that. And the guy's like, yeah, they took a picture of my junk. And the guy, the government has a picture of my junk? I don't want the government to have a picture of my junk. You know, so it was just like, it was so serious. It was so funny. It was just, I was laughing. But it just kind of tells you kind of where some people are. I'm not saying everybody's like that, but there are some people who just, some things aren't important and other things are more important. And that kind of brings me to the topic that we were talking about, what we were going to speak of today. And it's really about, maybe it's threefold. People who give advice. People who give advice and weren't asked to give advice. And people who think they know better than you. And they think that you should follow their advice because they're older than you or whatever, vice versa. So those are the things that I wanted to kind of hit base with a little bit today. And since no one in my family listens to the show, I'm free to say whatever I want. But, and I mean that in a comedic way.
Of course you do.
As I smile and I'm crying inside. But my daughter got married this weekend. Actually, she got married Monday. I keep saying this weekend. I was gone this weekend.
Yesterday.
And she got married to her longtime boyfriend. And Monday they got married. And but I remember how this has been a struggle. It's been one of those things that, not a struggle between them, because they're pretty sure what they were going to do. And I was like, yeah, cool, do it. You know, shit, I can marry you. I'm a minister, you know. They're like, oh, yeah, it's great. But what ended up happening was that my son-in-law's mother, who is now mother-in-law, who I've known for a long time as well, she wasn't on board with them getting married. She's like, well, you guys are too young, la, la, la. Just threw anything you can throw at anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, now's not the time, or whatever. You know, it's, so I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, really? She's really saying this to these kids? These kids are not kids anymore. These are adults. You know, he's 26. She's 22. And you know what? There is no right time. Listen, I got married when I was 22. Okay? And if I got married today, it wouldn't be the right time. You know what I'm saying? Because you always got to learn something. But it really pisses me off when other people tell other people what they shouldn't do with their lives. And, you know, I think it's one thing maybe to gain advice and ask somebody, hey, you know what? What do you think? And if they say, you shouldn't do it, and then, you know, and then you take that advice and you don't do it, fine. But if you take the advice and you run with it and you disagree with them, I think the problem is when you disagree and you try to, and then you have to prove your point. You shouldn't have to prove your point. You know, as adults, you know, we're, you know, if my daughter or my son-in-law got a speeding ticket, they would have to pay for it, not my mother-in-law, you know, or not, you know, whatever. The point is, you know, sometimes we have to make our own decisions in the end, what's best for us, regardless of what other people think or how they feel and what's going on in their mind, what's happening to them, what they went through and how they experienced life. And most of the time, people are giving you their experience and how they experience life and what they think is the best scenario. As I'm going through the ages of life, what I'm finding is there is no right and good scenarios. You can have $1 million job. But I hear people who have good jobs are like, well, we're just going to wait. You know, then they wait, and then it's like over, and then they can't have kids, or they can't do this, or they can't do that. It's never a good time,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
for them. So that's kind of the things that I've been watching and running into. So my advice to them was, you know what? In the United States of America, because when you turn 18, you's a legal adult. You can vote. You do crime, you're going to pay for it if you get caught, you know. So be at it. Go with it. And I wasn't throwing them out into the wind, just casting them out and just saying, but, you know, I gave them my 2 cents. This is what happened to me. You know, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen to you. But the thing is, if you guys love each other, enjoy it. Do it. Why? Well, you can be 40, be married, you still be married. You still be single if you went, you know. It's just how you look at things. I don't know. What do you think? You think that?
Yeah, well, I mean,
how do you feel about that? Let me ask you. My family's not listening, so it's okay.
That's all kind of about relative. I think a lot of that falls under the relativity. And astrologically, Sagittarius, ruled by Jupiter, ninth house. That has to do with relativity. And so that's relativity is an important thing. We've got to remember, we want to share our advice and our wisdom and our mistakes. And, you know, it's all out of love because we don't want to see people make the same mistakes we did or miss opportunities that we did and whatnot. But, yeah, it's... we have to remember too that everyone's on their own journey, and everyone's on their own path, and they may need to visit different places than you did or I did or mm-hmm. our parents did or whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, I think what you did is probably the right thing. You know, it's you say, hey, this is what I went through. This is what I experienced. And, but know too that everyone's got, nobody can know everything about another person. So we can't possibly know all the experiences someone else, even if it's a family member or a close friend, we can't know all the experiences they went through or all the traumas they've had to deal with or whatnot. So that's where the relativity thing comes in mind. So mm-hmm. it's like, I know I used to really get frustrated when, you know, I would give people advice or show them something and they wouldn't get it. But then, you know, there's things that I'm stubborn on mm-hmm. and people have to point out to me over and over again. So, you know, sometimes I'm not that damn smart on some things, you know, sure. As much as I would, I would like to be. I have issues that I get stuck on and stuff also. So, yeah, so I think it's good. Their experiences and make sure that some people are aware of certain things. But, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's their decision and they have to live with or make the best of or live with whatever choices they make. So as much as we want to share our experiences and whatnot, at the end of the day, the other people involved in whatever scenario have to, they have more information on the situation than we do. We're on the outside seeing just the part of the situation that's visible. We don't really know what all else is going on underneath there.
I agree.
And so, yeah, so it's, you know, too, that has to kind of do with, like energetic boundaries. We can't really force people to do things. We can give advice and share our experiences. But, yeah, sometimes, you know, we can give people advice they don't want or they don't. Sometimes people are in a vulnerable state and can't handle any kind of negativity or criticism.
Yeah, and I know people want things to be a certain way. They want things to be work out for the best, and you know, the way I look at it is they ran off and got a car, they got their own insurance. I'm figuring that's a pretty big commitment too, you know.
Right.
They obviously, and she's pretty cool with that.
Right.
She was pretty cool with that, you know, her, you know, my son-in-law's mother, she was all right with that. So I'm thinking, I don't know, that's a big responsibility too. You know, owning something, paying something. That shows me that at least they're taking the steps to become more independent, you know, away and separate, you know, and do the things that are important to them. And it's sometimes it's hard for parents to let go. And I think that's probably the big thing. I've been preparing myself to let go, mm-hmm. you know, over the years versus not letting go. Like, my dad won't let go. He just, like, I'm his kid, you know, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that my kids are moving forward and they're moving on and they're doing the things they're doing. And since no one listens to this show, in my family, I will
right.
say it again. You know, my son's having a baby with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And the advice there, it's funny. I said, you guys can do whatever you want. I said, you guys just do what you have to do, but take care of the baby, you know. But in his case, I said, if you're not in love, don't get married. That's one thing.
Right.
You know, if you don't love this person, then I wouldn't venture off into things that maybe are unknown, because that can have consequences, but everything has consequences. Mm. Like in my daughter's case, they really love each other and they care about each other. In this other case, it's completely different. So I approach it from a different point of view, you know, with him. Do they love each other? I don't know. And if they do, fine. But from my view, like you said earlier, it's just my vantage point, how I see things. And so you go by what you see, and you go by how you're feeling about it. But, you know, I always give them the opportunity to make the decision in the end, make them decide what's best for them. Like I said, like, since nobody's listening in my family to this show, I will continue on with my stories, because it's always evolving. My life's evolving, just like everybody else is changing and moving forward. But before I get into that aspect, let me at least say happy birthday to some Facebook friends. Jody Sandoval, let's happy birthday to you.
Yes, happy
Keith
birthday,
Murphy, Stacy Mayo, Deborah Meadows, right? Okay, Lisa Campbell Best, and Bob Kaler, and Tamara Rich. You're all my Facebook friends, so I want to say happy birthday. Shout out to you. And if you know those people and you didn't know it was their birthday today, you can go say happy birthday to them.
Yes. I have lots of my North Node and Venus are both in the sign of Taurus, so I have lots of... I've always had lots of Taurus people in my life. In fact, my three oldest best friends are all Tauruses. In fact, two of them have the same birthday. So,
okay.
That's and that's not uncommon, that whatever sign your Venus is in, that you have a lot of people of that zodiac sign, or at least with a lot of planets in that zodiac sign.
Let's take a quick break.
Conjunct your Venus.
And we'll conjunct our Venus, and we'll come right back. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. WithInsights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com. Welcome back to With Insights. This is Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe with Mark and Iggy. We are broadcasting live in an unknown disclosed location in the rabbit hole.
With Panda and Rabbit.
Yeah, you had the switchboard yesterday. It was funny as heck.
I did.
I was cracking up, man, dude. Guys, I was just like...
You guys were completely at my mercy.
We were at your mercy. I was like, now I know how these guys feel. When I'm pushing buttons.
You were driving on the road and David was huddled in his bedroom. Got you hilarious. Right where I want you.
Yeah, you sure did. You sure did, my friend. Really.
That was fun. That was a good experience for me, though, to be... I mean, I got in there and helped with some readings and stuff, but to kind of just be running the switchboard and stuff, since I'll be...
waiting for that one.
Since I'll be doing a lot of that when you're in Peru. So... Everyone be nice to me. You will be at my mercy when Iggy's out of town.
All right.
No, sure, I'll cook up some new samples to you as well.
happy Cinco de Mayonnaise, the Mayo. Yes. When I shout out to those ancestors who fought off the French valiantly and then got drunk the next day.
Thank God they didn't fight the French the day after that.
No one knows that true story. You know, Cinco de Mayo is just like a battle. It's not even really a national holiday. I like how things get commercialized here in this country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's Cinco de Mayo! 5,000 Mexican troops held off 25,000 French troops, and they couldn't come across the border. Then they had a party, and they woke up the next day and found themselves in shackles.
Right. Yeah, it is funny how holidays originate in the original... meanings of things get
just
twisted.
Call it Tequila Day, like Susie Q's saying on the show here. Just call it Tequila Day.
Tequila.
That's about what it is. Everybody just gets ripped, man, and just has Mexican food all day long, or Latin American food.
Tequila Mockingbird.
Tequila. All right. So this is the Get Real show.
Okay.
This is what I'm calling the Get Real show. So, you know, if you have anything that you want to share or anything that you want to get real and talk about that's been inside you that you haven't been able to, like, go, this is, and I wouldn't say it's Confession Tuesday or anything like that, because the
yeah,
show
let's
is,
not do that.
This show is archived. Someone will play it back.
And will be used against you in a court of law.
Yes. But, you know, since no one in my family listens to the show, it's okay.
You have free reign.
I have free reign. And they should listen
more. You're
a
free-range panda.
But, you know, the weekend got interesting for me. You know, as it got interesting, you know, you're driving and, you know, you talk about stuff and things go on and you get to where you're at. And then all of a sudden, your inner son tells you, hey, Dad, I just want to tell you guys something. And I'm like, what? He goes, well, I think I like boys too. And I think to myself, okay. I was like, all right. You want me to say something else? I mean, I was like, well, that's good. I mean, if you're happy, you do what you do. But, you know, it's just been like vent after event after event for me as this Sagittarian guy with his little arrows is trying to progress through life. But the reason I share that, regardless if they, you know, it's my life, I have to also express what I'm feeling too. And I know this is going worldwide and the whole world's listening to it and so throughout the universe, but I also have to feel that, you know, and express that. It was interesting because I didn't know how I was going to react. I had no clue, but, you know, I can't speak for my wife how she reacted because that was not fair. She's not here, so I won't do that. But my reaction was just like, well, you know, what can you do? It's kind of like the story of Jake and Markel getting married, you know?
Right.
Now I gave their names away.
Right.
That's okay. So everybody who has my Facebook page knows who they are. You know, they made the decision was best for them, and he's making the best decision for best for him, and so is my other son. So it's kind of like, we're all doing these things, and they're good examples. You know, they're good examples because it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of gumption. It takes, you know, a lot of moxie to get in there and say, hey, we're going to do this. You know, this is where I'm feeling right now. This is where I'm at. And making life-changing decisions, because those are life-changing decisions. The way you hold things and bury things can affect how you live in your normal life. If you're always carrying a shadow of doubt or shadow of wondering or what ifs, then you don't really move towards those spaces that you need to. You think you could possibly move to, you know, because you're always concentrating and working energetically to keep this a secret or keep this in a certain place, you know, that you can't get over here and it's hard to get over here. But you don't know over here exists because you're so engulfed here. But I can tell as soon as they let go of that, whatever was over here doesn't matter anymore, because now the windows of opportunities have opened up, you know, tenfold this way. And so, and I watched that progress, and, you know, and I knew almost exactly when my daughter got married yesterday, because I just started crying. I don't know, I just started crying. I was driving down the road, and I was just like, you know, I was just like, and Susie looks over, and she goes, what's the matter? I'm like, well, I'm, and then the text comes in and shows them kissing, and, you know, they're in the justice of the peace, and, you know, I was just like, you know, she's not our daughter. She's not our daughter. She's our daughter, but she's now Jake's wife. You know, it's like we gave her, you know, Dante gave her away for us because we weren't there, because we wanted to honor Jake's respect to that his mother wasn't going to be there. And then we didn't want it to become this conspiracy thing, you know, that, you know, all of a sudden Jake's, we knew, but Jake's mom doesn't know, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we weren't there, so we didn't want to cause that friction. But I just knew at that moment, it was just like, there had been a shift. You know, it was like, I was just like, emotions coming from nowhere. What is this? What's going on? I looked at the clock and it was like two after, 15 after. And I knew that's kind of when they were doing it. And then boom, I was just like, I had to pull over.
I was like,
And then we just looked at each other and we just smiled. And we just kind of said, you know, we're progressing through life, you know.
Well, it's kind of funny. A couple of weeks ago on one of the shows, you had talked about how there's like a lot of changes going on with your family and a lot of family stuff. And mm-hmm. It's like almost like you had an intuition and stuff that there was, you know, it sounded like you had a lot of revelatory events in the last 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, thanks.
Rabbit. Yeah, it is. I mean, there's so much shifting going on right now. I mean, it's almost hard to keep your footing on one level, But again, I think, you know, the message is that any of our preconceived notions of what is or how things are supposed to be or whatnot, I really don't mean doodly squat when it comes down to it, because everyone's got their own.
Could you imagine if I fought these guys on anything?
And, oh, like, right.
To begin with, I wouldn't have. So it's hard for me to even think what that would have been looked like. But I could just imagine. I know my kids. I know me. So knowing me, and if anybody fought me on something like that, that I was pretty dead certain that that's the way I wanted it to be. You know, I'm not going to prove you wrong, but I'm just going to go with my intuition and run with it. My kids are pretty intuitive. You know, and I believe, you know, as another intuitive to intuitive, but they're not really, really ready to tap into that part of their lives quite yet, you know, so that's okay. But yet they have the gift, like we all do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my weekend. It was a pretty emotional weekend. It was like I was in the ant farm. I call it the ant farm. New York's my ant farm. You know, I'm just another person there. I'm not the fun-loving panda Latino here in, like, in Columbus, Ohio.
There's a lot of Latinos. What kind of a sound does an ant make?
What kind of a sound?
I don't know if we could get an ant sound effect. Or.
Well, when he's a human size and he shrinks down to ant size, it sounds like this.
Actually,
Ant-Man.
Actually, the Ant-Man movie looks really good.
Doesn't it?
It does.
Oh, my God. We watched the Avengers at the movie theater.
Oh, you went and saw the new Avengers movie?
Yeah. It's not as good as the first one, I think, but it's still good. It's kind of like a setup for a lot of other movies and other things to come.
Yeah.
Which was, I didn't really, you know, that's made it kind of choppy. But yeah, they had previews of the Ant-Man. It was pretty good. I think Paul Rudd
is
Ant-Man.
Yeah. The preview I saw was really funny for it.
Yeah,
there
was
a really
part,
funny.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they're bringing to life the comic book characters that I grew up with, which is kind
of
neat.
And one of my favorite Avengers characters, I hear, is in the new one.
Well, the Vision's in it. And they
That'd
pretty
be
much,
very interesting,
you know, they kept to the book kind of, they kept to the comic book series a little bit, to how he became the Vision, which was kind of good. I liked it. So there wasn't too much drifting on it, but it's Quicksilver, of course, and there's Wanda the Witch. You know, so it's going to be interesting because there's certain characters that people like. And, you know, in comic books, you don't really see people die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a rare event.
Someone does die in this one.
Okay.
I'm not going to say who because I don't want to ruin it for anybody. I think I might have ruined it already by saying someone's going to die. But those of you who are into movies and don't like to be told what's going to happen, I will tell you who died right now. Ready? I'm going to tell you. Tell you. Okay, Mark. That's your
dad. Wow, that was a shocker.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? It made me sad when he died.
Go, go. So you just narrowed it down to it was a he, huh?
That's all I'm going to say. No more. You go watch it. We are cool nerds. Yes, that is right. Susie QT. We are cool nerds. You are one of our best fans, and we appreciate you.
Yes. Yes, Susie is a
when she
constant
can, she's
listener, nice. Yes. We appreciate that. Her and Mozzie are out there all the time, as well as numerous others.
But, yeah, that's kind of where my life's been. So, you know, when you're out there, you know, when someone's telling you something, listen to what they're really telling you, I guess, is the bottom line. What's going on in their heart, what they're feeling, and what's the driving force behind it. Because a lot of times people are too afraid to tell you really what they're feeling, so they kind of share with you a story for you to decipher if you're good enough to decipher the story. That's what I find. It's like little kids when there's something happened. Mm-hmm. This big bear came and he took the gum off the stand and then he put it in my mouth and then I didn't really eat it. The bear gave it to me. You know, just little, you know,
right.
How kids are.
Right.
And the moms are like, oh, so cute, I can't beat them, you know, spanking for that, you know, but
right, I mean,
adults do that too.
I mean, using the astrology, I mean, I try to pick the best times and places and things. So I have like, I think before we went on the air, you said something about a magic moment time. So I always try to plan things for these moments when you have, or, you know, if there's an event, I try to make sure I have as good as energy as possible at the time. I actually spend quite a bit of time planning, like, when my classes and events are and things mm-hmm. like that, whenever. But there's sometimes you have a door or window of opportunity, and sometimes you just have to leap and then, you know, fix stuff on the back end. Sometimes you don't, you know, if it's, I mean, I'm not where I won't do something if the energy isn't great, because I know too that sometimes maybe there's an experience I'm supposed to have that may not, and there's always, you know, there's free will and variables with any situation. So sometimes mm-hmm. even when I can look at the astrological weather for any date and time, you know, sometimes you're supposed to do things at a certain time, and you don't always know what the real message or lesson of that is going to be. When, you know, I've seen signs where the universe puts me at a certain place in a certain time, mm-hmm. which, you know, we all have these, like, I think we all have these timelines in our head, like, you know, I'm sure you'd like to have seen them get married at a certain time in a certain place with certain people, and
they're going to have a wedding.
And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out that way.
They're going to have a wedding. That's no big deal. That's not...
Oh, are they going to have a ceremony?
Yeah, they're going to have a ceremony and all that kind of stuff. So, but the fact for me was that, you know, they wanted me to marry them, you know, and then they couldn't because they want to cause drama and controversy. But, you know, like anything in life, no matter what decision you make, right or wrong, however you're perceiving it, there's always going to be a repercussion. Repercussion doesn't mean bad, okay?
Right.
There's going to be something that comes from out of that. There's an effect that does occur. You know, if you cross the street and you're trying to run the red light, you know, you might get caught, you may not get caught. Just there's always consequences, positive or negative, to whatever you do. You're always going to have something that's going to be good out of it, questionable out of it. There's always going to be something. So like this, you know, they get married, fine. There's going to be some things they're going to have to talk about and address and point out that maybe they didn't see themselves before either. And we all have to do that. You know, with my decisions in my life, decisions in your lives, you know, we make decisions and then we try to move forward with them the best we can. You're right. You have to leap sometimes. Hopefully you're just leaping, making sure you're leaping, that there's something solid to land on. And if there's not, then you have to adjust. You know, it's constant adjustment. The human trait, the human nature, is about constantly adjusting what we are, who we are, how we see ourselves, and then trying to understand how people see us too, because it's important for people to understand, to know what's going on and how they're perceiving and projecting, because people will project on the things that we do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
And projection is a big thing, I see, and I see a lot of that. And I try to guard against, I'm sure I do it sometimes, but I've try to be very aware of doing that. Because like I said, we don't have all the hell, we don't understand everything that's going on inside of us at any time, let
Absolutely.
Alone knowing everything that's...
And I'll be the first person to address an amen to that, because, you know, one day I'm feeling one way, one day I'm not, you know. I don't know what's going on there.
Right.
Emotionally, physically, spiritually, you know, I do my best.
Right.
I think we all try to do our best.
Agreed. And it is. I mean, it takes all of our time and energy sometimes to sort out all the stuff we're going through. So I try to, as much as possible, I try to be like the ocean. You send the energy out.
What, big and vast?
And right. Wet and full of fish.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, you try to send the good energy out, and you try to, you know, ride the tide and go with the flow, and, you know, hope you send out the energy and just try to direct it in the right direction and hope mm-hmm. it reaches this. If it doesn't, there's something you don't understand that's going on. Maybe that person still is trying to needing to learn a certain lesson. Maybe you're supposed to be, you know, maybe I'm supposed to be learning a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like trying to, I mean, I used to get kind of stuck in, I've known some people who really get stuck in this still, is trying to send, you know, they try to send energy out and they try to really make it, it's like you're talking about. You went and planted some sunflower seeds this morning. It was mm-hmm. like you go out and plant the sunflower seeds, and then like it's like you stand and hover over the seeds until they start growing.
That's gonna be like 14 to 7 days.
Right, right. So it's like you can't go and stand over the seeds first. You have to have a little bit of faith that, you know, as long as you have them in the ground and you water them a little bit, and that's what's going to happen with them is what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, because some seeds don't grow.
Right.
You know, I'm watching my garden. I'm preparing it. Some things look great, and I came back from my trip, and they're like, what happened to them? You know, they're like, they're in their little pots. I don't know if they got overwatered or they didn't pull off the things that I asked them. But it's just, that's just life. You just adjust, and you go, well, I guess we're not having jalapenos this year.
Right.
You know, that particular batch. But, you know, it's just then you look underneath and you start seeing the cantaloupe seedlings popping up
mm-hmm.
that was
mm-hmm.
given to us by our friend, the lioness. And they're starting to pop up. So maybe we'll have cantaloupe later this year. We don't know. I don't know. We'll see. It all depends on how well the soil's been prepared and if the rabbits don't get to them, you know, your little furry friends over there.
I'll tell them to stay clear.
But, yeah, that's life is a constant game of adjusting, you know, and enjoying the ride, too.
Right. I mean, even, too, there's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's generational differences. You know, every generation kind of rebels against the generation before it. And, you know, these things, even though we don't always understand the motivation, like we've talked before on the show how, you know, some of the younger people now, the people in their 20s and stuff, are just kind of really more computer and spiritually and energetically kind of, they just kind of get that stuff faster. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you see, what took, you know, me and, you know, a lot of my friends that are my age, you know, really concepts that took us a long time to grasp. I just see, like, you know, a lot of the younger people just kind of, you know, if they're spiritually awakened, which, you know, a lot of them are, it's like they just kind of grasp these concepts quicker. And I'm like, no, you're not getting it. And it's like, you know, the things that we struggle with, they don't. They kind of can pick up and become attuned to a lot of this stuff really quick. And so, you know, and they don't always do what we think is right, and they don't always do what, you know, we feel or in the order that we feel things should be done. But, you know, the energies are so different now than they were a month ago or 2 months ago.
About 2 hours ago.
Or right. I mean, I find no similarities in anything from now to year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, nothing in my life is remotely the same. Not any single area in my life is the same as it was 2 years ago. And so then, you know, just imagine when you have, you know, a generation or two generations between people, you know, each generation has to kind of, their evolutionary purpose as a group, as a soul group, is to rebel against the previous generation. Not to just be rebellious, but that's the next evolutionary step, right? You know, things change, energies change. Kids today shouldn't be doing things the same way that kids who grew up in the 70s or 50s did.
They can't.
Because each generation has its own specific, unique gift. And they have their own mark to make on society. And their own, you know, astrologically, they have their own, you know, when you look at groups or generations, you know, I kind of look at the outer planets, you know, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. Mm-hmm. Every generation has a different lineup of those, and that shows their effect on society as a whole. And so each generation has its own mark to leave. And a lot of times it is very different from the generation before theirs or the generation three back And that older generation may not understand what the younger generation do. Just like the kids, I mean, I went over this in my last class. I mean, the kids being born right now, these people will 100% change and revolutionize the entire world. Because just think all the... Just think how intense the energy's been recently. The last few months, all the eclipses at the last degree of the zodiac and the Pluto stations. I mean, look, there's another 7.4 earthquake yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, just the immense energy of the last few months, and just people are being born right now.
Yeah.
Those people are going to capsulize that energy. They're going to carry that intense, powerful, revolutionary change energy that's out there. There are people being born with that in their birth chart, and they're going to carry that kind of energy. Now, it's not going to be every second of their life forever,
right,
but those people are going to capsulize this time period and this energy. Just like I was born on the first day of spring of the summer of love, 1967. I was born on the first day of spring, and I carry that hippie, new age, you know, vibe. Well, you know, that's one of my main things. I was born at that. Whenever you're born, you capture the energy of that moment. That's your first breath. That's your first step into existence. So whatever the mood, vibe, energy of that time period is, you carry that with you throughout your life.
Yeah, kind of like me on December 8th in Peru is summertime. So it's the opposite. So I have this like summer fun energy about me.
Right, right.
Constantly. Like I really want to always constantly be like doing something. You know, hey, we gotta go for boating.
Right, we gotta go hiking. Right,
you know?
Right.
We can work, yeah, we're gonna work. This long.
Then we're gonna go play.
Yeah, then we're gonna play. And that's kinda my energy. So I totally get what you're saying. Yeah, and kids today are a lot different. You're right. Every generation, you can't expect every generation to be the same way. It's impossible.
Right. And you try to instill the lessons you've learned and, you know, the wisdom you have, but understand that they're not necessarily going to apply it the same way that
Mark, think that about when we were kids, Mark. It was the 70s, okay?
Right.
We were 70s kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, little kids, not like teenagers. We were like 70s kids.
Right.
I mean, there was a lot going on just in that time period. You know, just there's a lot of movements, kind of like there is now.
Oh, right.
You know, so there's a lot of reflective, you know, energy. But I think about that sometimes. I had those funky hippie pants, you know, with my glasses and my Beatles-looking haircut, you know. I was born in 1966. I was born in the 60s, but I'm a kid of the 70s. And then I'm a teenager of the 80s. Through the 90s, you know?
Right. I kind of like trance out sometimes when I'm
cool
talking
hairdos,
to younger
man.
Kids.
We had cool hairdos.
Right.
In the 80s.
Right.
Flock of Seagulls, man. You remember that?
Yeah, see, I much more resonate with the 70s. I mean, because now, like, I've been, you know, like a drum circle and stuff. Sometimes there's, you know, younger people there or, you know, other things we do. And just, you know, sometimes I'll hear conversations where it's like, you know, yeah, I've heard of Led Zeppelin, but I don't really know any of their songs. And that just blows my... I mean, I could read you every song title in order to every Led Zeppelin album off the top of my head. Not growing up in your youth listening to Led Zeppelin, I can't even... That's like saying, well, I have a trunk and 9 gills on my forehead... And I live on the planet Estonia, and, you know, I mean, that's incomprehensible to me growing up and not sitting outside listening to Led Zeppelin. I can't even fathom. I mean, and then it's funny. I'm like, oh, my God, that poor kid has never, they've never sat and listened to physical graffiti on vinyl.
Yeah.
Wearing flare bell bottoms. How can they possibly survive?
I know what she means. And then I have the whole other extreme. You know, I grew up in a Latin family. Mm-hmm. So Led Zeppelin was part of my other world that I had to go to school to.
Uh-huh.
But then I also had this other aspect where I went to, you know, hung out with Latin people, danced Latin music, listened to the contemporaries of my time. So I got a little bit of all of that. And then the Who.
I hear the Who Are You.
To the Who. Who Are You? We're in the background, we're both looking at each other. So the Rolling Stones.
Right.
And different groups
right.
like that. The Beatles. Actually, the Beatles were a little bit older, but yeah, they were still kind of in our
right.
70s as well.
Oh,
popping
yeah.
around.
Oh, yeah.
So we had some pretty cool stuff. And then the 80s came. And then that was just like a whole. I love the 80s. Because it was like. The 70s were cool because it was about expressing, but the 80s, you really got to express. You know, you really got to go. And you really could become a little bit darker. You could wear your hair a certain way. You could wear. We weren't unique by any means, okay? Because if everybody's doing it, then you're not unique.
Oh,
okay?
Oh, right.
But
right.
It was a moment where we could say, hey, you know what? I want to be goth, or I want to be punk rocker, you know? Or I want to be a breakdancer. I was more like the breakdancer type guy in the 80s, you know? You know, I was doing dancing, hip hop, and that's when I started doing all that. But I got along with everybody.
Oh,
I just always loved my goth friends, man. They were the best. They were the funniest, man.
I ran with that. And you know what's funny is I didn't get into the goth scene until I didn't like The Cure or anything like that in the 80s. It was like once it got into the 90s, to the early 90s, that's when I started. Cause I didn't like a lot of that stuff in the 80s. In the 80s, I was Judas Priest, Iron Maiden.
Oh, so you were a rocker.
I was the metalhead.
You're the metalhead.
Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne.
You see, I wasn't that.
Right. See, but then it was once I got into the 90s, because I found The Cure really annoying and stuff. Then I got into the 90s and I found, so this is like one day, I was just like, oh my God, The Cure is awesome. And
I was Billy Squire.
Ran across Bauhaus and Nick Cave and all the,
okay.
you know, the forerunners of the goth and industrial type. And then it's like, oh, this is amazing.
Then the late 80s, I that was kind of when I started doing real hardcore breakdancing. And I was a DJ. And I would DJ just anything, weddings, parties. You'd do it, go to clubs, and I'd be like, we were like the forerunners of all the scratching and stuff and mixing. And tell you, that was some good times, man.
Yeah.
I remember those days, man. I remember them well. I was kind of in the anything that had to do with like really funky beats and stuff. I was into it. I'm still kind of like that till today. The 90s was kind of like I'm busy, got to raise my family, you know, when it started coming around. And then, so I missed out and I curtailed. I hung on to as best I could on that ride, changing diapers and hanging on. Yay!
Right.
I'm going out. Okay, I'll be back. I'll be back by 6.
Right.
You know, so I mean, it was a whole different scenario for me. So it was like, but it was good. It was good.
Yeah, because I mean, that's when I first, I think, stepped into my physical form in this lifetime was like early, mid 90s, I think, is when I first kind of, I'll tell you, everything that happened before. Like we'll say like 95 right now, like anything that happened really before 1995 was kind of a different person. That whole, I was overtly shy, had no confidence whatsoever, very unfocused. The first 28 years of my life were on many levels a worthless, unfocused kind of piece of crap, to be honest with you. And it's like something, you know, sometimes I wonder about, you know, I wonder about memories. Are they good? I mean, we all love from, you know, oh, when I was a kid, we did this. And I'm like, sometimes I don't know that memories are good. Because it's like, you know how much pain memories cause sometimes?
Yeah.
And we always trying to recapture a feeling or a time period and stuff. And it's like, sometimes memories do so much damage to us.
That's funny. And Susie Q is not my wife, for those of you who want to know.
Right,
she's
right.
actually somebody else. Somebody else's wife.
Right.
And she said the 90s was all breeding. So many babies.
Yeah.
People were having kids, I guess. There's a little boom there. Yeah, I was having kids then, you know, in the 90s. But, you know, the music of 2000s, is different. I can't quite understand it. I can't quite get into it. I mean, but what is it? What do you call it? Boy bands are still pretty big. I can see. Like, there's some new boy bands and stuff. I watch kids, you know, listen to, oh, yeah, I'd get One Direction. And I'm like, eh, we had a One Direction.
Right, we had NSYNC.
Right. We had the, you know, it's just funny. But there's always a boy band in every generation. There's always a boy band.
Our friend Andy Metzger put up a funny post the other day. It was something he had shared about. I think it was a joke thing. It was from The Onion. And it was said, the article was something about, if you don't follow The Onion on Facebook or whatever, The Onion is the most hysterical satire paper. But it was about most people after the age of 33 never listen to new music. And it's like, that's totally true with a lot of people. I am not like that. I am not casual about my music obsession. So there's a lot of people who think there's no good music out there. And it's like, that's wrong. There's still lots of good music being made. But the difference is everything is so corporatized now, you have to dig a little harder to find it.
It's because everybody produces now. Everybody can produce their own music now. They can produce their own writing. They can produce their own whatever.
I know. It's almost like any two idiots in the world can go have their own radio show or something now.
Yeah. I don't know who that would be, but I'm sure someone out there has their own radio show.
I'm sure we could be talking about somebody.
Yeah, I don't know who, but there's nothing shy about us now. I don't think I've ever was shy.
I used to be horribly, horribly shy.
I was like, I remember when someone told me, you want to die shy? That was it for me. So now I don't want to die shy. I didn't know I was dying. I was never really a shy kid. I was kind of like a very curious, some people would describe me as the kid from Damien as a child.
Some people describe me as that now.
But Damien, you know, I was
let
just
go of
very
the dog, Damien.
Damien. Do not levitate her anymore. No, I was just a real ornery kid. I was just really curious kid. I just got into trouble, man. As a little kid. As a teenage kid, I wasn't so bad. But as a little kid, man, I was a monster. Monster Mash. They wrote that song about me. They saw me walking down the street and taking kids' candy. No, but I was always an entrepreneur type kid. You know, that's one thing. I remember when Halloween, you could go out. Yeah, we're reminiscing, guys.
Oh, yeah.
When you could go out and you could stay out late for Halloween for a long time. You could stay out. I mean, we had trash bags, dude. We carried trash bags.
I feel so horrible for the kids now. I mean, Halloween is horrible now. When I was little, oh, God, here we go. I'm officially 70 now. When I was little, see, Halloween was...
I loved Halloween.
Oh, I know. And there's so many people that don't like... I love Halloween. Halloween's my favorite holiday.
That's when we got to eat.
Man, when I was little, Halloween was a neighborhood event. It wasn't this crap now where you have 4 kids come to your house if you're lucky because everyone's terrified of wackos out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a neighborhood event. Every house was decorated.
Mm-hmm.
People would be out in the yard dressed up, and there'd just be lines of kids walking.
Yeah.
Halloween was
an event,
incredible.
Man.
I mean, I feel bad that the kids now don't have, maybe they have something else that's an equal experience.
It'd be like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. They're still giving candy out.
Oh, I know.
And I mean, we come home, and we'd be like, and we pour it on the table. My dad goes, well, we got to check it. You know, we checked it regardless, but we just combined everybody's forces, and we put it on the table. That way there was no bickering. It was kind of a very socialist country in our house. We all eat.
Right.
You know, so it was like, shh. It was funny. But,
it's like the NFL draft you go through.
And,
like,
and then we'd pick out
the
certain ones.
With the third
ones.
Pick of the fourth round.
Iggy brings all the Reese's Cups.
Iggy selects Hershey's chocolate.
But, I mean, Halloween was just a hoot, man. It was just a blast. I loved Halloween.
Oh, yeah. And people would have coffins in their yard, and they'd be dressed up, and they'd pop out of them, and they'd have a scary music going. Halloween was just incredible when I was in my neighborhood when I was little.
I mean, kids now have to imagine what Halloween used to be like. you know, right. the stories we tell, and they're like, oh, I wish our Halloween was like that. Oh, it was really intense.
Oh, yeah. It was
really Halloween.
Amazing.
And haunted houses were real.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't like these fake jobs. They were just pretty intense. It was good youth.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like kids now today. You don't even see kids shoveling snow. When it snows, remember, when I was a kid, I grabbed my shovel, $5 a pop, depending on the size of your lawn, your driveway, $10, $20. I had money, man, in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime school was out, I was just like, hello, would you like me to shovel your snow? That would be $10. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure, because they don't want to do it.
Right.
And they see this cute little kid, you know, with the little, you know, hairdo from the 70s.
right.
Yeah, sure. And they bring you hot chocolate. But you don't see it anymore. I told my kids, hey, when they were little, why don't you guys go out and knock on the neighbor's door? I said, well, why don't you shovel our snow? Okay, man. Man, I was like on it, man. I'd cut the neighbor's yards, man. I was just like, man, I always had something. I bought myself, you know, my own things because I could do that.
Entrepreneur.
Kids today, man, you can't even get them to cut. Can you cut the lawn for me? What did you say? It's like that Hershey, that Snickers commercial. You give them a Snickers, change back.
Oh, right.
But yeah, they're just different. You know, so I'll pay you. 50 cents? But it's just different.
Right. I mean, I'm sure the younger people have their own stuff that we don't get, but there was just so much awesome stuff in our tribe that has like died.
It's because we didn't have computers, we didn't have iPods, we didn't have all the things that stimulate us in a completely different way.
Right.
Our stimulation was outside, walking through the streets,
right.
hanging out with our friends, watching the sunset, watching the sunrise. 7 o'clock, you know, we'd be home. And then on Saturdays, we'd watch cartoons from such and such a time to such a time. Then they added 4 o'clock cartoons later on in life.
I would get up, yeah, like every Saturday or every day during the summer. Like, man, get up, put my Pop-Tarts in the toaster and sit and watch whatever, Little Rascals reruns or cartoons on the weekend. And Saturday morning cartoons.
And Saturday morning cartoons were the bomb, man.
Yep.
You know? And then you get pissed off because they didn't put the right show on, like the right rerun, like the right episode. They were doing something here, and they're like, no. The kids knew, you know? Hey, wait, you know? You got it backwards. You showed that one last. You know, it's like, now it's like, doesn't even matter. It's like, I saw that one. Click. I saw that one.
All right.
You know, it's completely different. There's stimulation. They have a 24-hour, they have several 24-hour cartoon networks now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's 24 hours now.
Mm-hmm. It's like life is going on.
No idea.
Maybe that's why we can't mentally shut off at night.
Maybe. But I just remember those days.
I remember when TV would like go off. Like,
yeah.
There was like four channels. Like they would go off the air at like 1 a.m. or 3 a.m. Yeah, you couldn't get, if you woke up in the middle of the night, you couldn't go sit in front of the, oh, I'll go watch TV. You couldn't do
they
that.
They play the national anthem at the end, remember? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, we will return to our world of broadcast at
6 a.m. or whatever. Yeah.
And then,
right.
And then you sat there and watched the blue for like 5 minutes. That's interesting. But it was, your day was
the blue
done.
Is talking to me.
But you know, it was a different time. It was a different world.
Yeah.
You know, and I find that really interesting because I'm kind of like that now. I want to go out and do things. You know, I like my computer. I like my iPad and stuff. But I just know that there's a whole different experience out there to be part of everything that's just going around you.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like being in a type of prison, you know, when you're just locked away and you don't do things. Sleeping in is another thing. I like to sleep, but you know what? I came to a point where I'm realizing, well, you know, the day I transition to the next realm, I have plenty of time to sleep then. You know, right now, I'm just going to enjoy it and do the best I can. Now I don't require as much sleep as I used to, just by that little affirmation I gave myself. But I'd say being a kid in my time was fun. I'm not saying it's not fun to be a kid, but everything's a little more demanding now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of crazy because we're the kids that got to experience that. We're the ones that kind of created this new stuff, you know. And now we've got our kids in this whole new system.
Everything is specialized now. Everything that exists.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, they have summer camps for youth football and baseball and stuff like that. And
we just had summer camp.
Right.
It was like, it was either, if you were poor, you went to the rec camp.
Right.
Operated by the city of Columbus.
Right.
You know, if you were wealthy enough and had enough money, you'd go to whatever, Camp Akita or something very more prestigious. But now they have camp for everything. You're right about that. Chess camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have bottle collecting camp, stamp camp, you know, culinary camp, astrology camp, shaman camp.
Get to teach kids how to use knives.
Knife camp. Band camp. It's different.
It is.
It's their life. It's their world. So I find that pretty fun. So we're going to take a really quick break. We're going to come right back. We're both just reminiscing down memory lane. Hopefully, why don't you guys call us in at 646-595-3440. I want to hear what you have to say about memory lane, your memory lane. Mark had brought up a topic that sometimes memories, you know, they're useful and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they conjure up the things that we really don't want to think about, but they're still our memories. But I guess you could repaint them in a certain way. Instead of being scared by the boogeyman, you could be scaring the boogeyman.
Right.
It's just kind of how you can rearrange it, since we do, most of our lives are inside this little box in our head that hasn't seen light ever. It just translates energy and breaks it down and shows us what we see and how we experience it. So we'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
And so that's why they killed that character off in the Avengers movie. So we're back now with Iggy, Magic Panda, and Wesley Wabbit here on Lunchtime Wisdom. So, sorry we gave away the character that was killed in the Avengers movie, but no, it's still worth watching.
Yeah, it's sure. A good movie. You know, if you don't like spoilers, you know, you don't want to be spoiled, then, you know, you should cover your ears sometimes, because some will give it away. As soon as we're going to say something, you got to, like, just kind of say, oh, they're going to say it. So, this is who died in the Avengers. Okay, so that guy, you know, he...
I know. It was shocking.
Yeah, it was just very shocking. It was just too bad when he, you know, when he was going through the, you know. And he got, you know,
by,
happens, you know, by that guy, yes.
Yeah.
And no, you're not talking very much on the chat room, Susie. You can talk all you want. Yes. We appreciate you. I love reading your posts as we're going through here. And we're having fun. So we're going to wrap it up to the 15th minute here that we have left. So I want to kind of touch base about the rites of passages. And I think we've talked about this on other shows, but I don't think we really talked about it here on this show. But the rite of passages as adults here in this country, in the United States of America. I don't want to say America because America is bigger than just talking about the United States of America. Okay. Do we have rite of passages that we all participate in, that we're all part of? I mean, I'm sure there's rite of passages, but within cultural groups. But does America have a rite of passage? Does their young people have a rite of passage?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's some, you know, like getting your driver's license, mm-hmm. You know, graduating from high school. And, you know, all these have, like, all these time of life things all have, like, astrological correlations, like your midlife crisis or whatever, that's your... Mm-hmm. When Uranus is opposed to where Uranus was in your birth chart, and your, yeah, there's all kinds. I think they change. I think the timelines have kind of changed on them from what they were. you know, when we were little, when the, you know, dinosaurs were around and stuff. But
yeah, that fake Barney showed up. We had to put a stop to that.
Right.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, rite of passages in our country, I guess that would be, I mean, I've never thought about, you know, getting your driver's license or getting your temps. It's kind of like, hey, look at me, I'm ascending to the next level into adulthood, you know, or I'm going to graduate. So what happens if people don't graduate and don't get their driver's license? So the rite of passage and ceremony, you know, culturally, I don't know if we have a culturally per se, more like a pulp culture type we do, but but I don't know if we really have something that, you know, hey, you know what, you're 16 now, you're 15. I think the women do more than men. But I find that men sometimes, as young men, don't really have a way to express them going into manhood. You know, I'm getting ready to be a man or whatever that means. And then when you get put into positions that they tell you to ask you to man up, hey, you need to man up. You know, sometimes men go, well, I don't know what that means. You know, for a long time, I didn't know what that meant. I just thought it was just someone being really rude and, you know, belligerent. And trying to be cute and funny or just trying to prove a point. You know, there's so many versions of what men look like or what they do. You know, it's hard to distinguish if you really want to be that type of man. If your dad's an alcoholic, if your dad was a beater, if your dad was a cheater, you know, if your dad was a whatever. You look at those roles are your role models, yep. You know. And when you start searching outside of, you know, in life to find new role models, it becomes difficult. It becomes difficult sometimes, I think, for young men to see the world, you know, through another man's eyes and what it means to be a man. I'm not talking about being jobs. I'm not talking about having a good career. I'm talking about being a man, what it means to be a man, you know, what it means, you know, in our society today. Because we're so commingled now as a society, men and women work and men and do this. And, you know,
the gender roles are really switched now.
Oh, absolutely.
There's more and more. I know more and more women who have, like, the corporate job kind of, and men who are tend to the household things and, mm-hmm. you know, do the more.
I'd probably be a better wife than a man, personally.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, me too.
I mean, I could take care of your house probably 10 times better than, you know, probably any woman would. You know, I would have my moments, but. I just like certain things, like the yard, man. I like cleaning, I like vacuuming. I like doing that. It doesn't make me less of a man.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
I do too.
I just kind of like, I like that stuff. You know, I like to see things, you know. I like cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, I owned a restaurant, man, for many years, you know.
Right.
That doesn't make me less of a man for owning a restaurant, right? But yeah. If I'm cooking at home, we create stigmas for men. Men have these identity crises that they're supposed to be a certain way or do a certain thing. It's about just everybody having equality at some level, you know. We're all different, and we all bring certain gifts to the table, and we all do certain things that are unique to ourselves. So, and especially when I do my work, we do rites of passages for young men. We, you know, honor them and celebrate them and share, you know, some families have asked me to do that for them, you know, and teaching them what it would mean in honor. And the mom and the parents would buy a drum for them, something they can play. And remember, it's about storytelling. It's about carrying on the lineage of your family, what they did, what they were about, how they struggled, how they came to be where they're at today, and how many people had to exist prior to you to bring you to the point where you're at today. And you're here because of so many people, not because just your mom and dad. Your mom and dad are one reason, but so many people have come before you who have trailblazed a path for you, and that's man and woman, that, you know, it's sometimes we forget about. You know, for Mark and Iggy to be on this show and do what we do, there had to be a lot of players involved to get us to this point, which is, you know, very super important. You know, a lot of love had to come through there and had to, you know, manifest its way through. And the same way what we're doing someday, we're going to carry that love and that manifestation through as well. So there's a whole lot of Ignacios and a whole lot of whoever's who come before me and, you know, before you, same with your family, who've created and have crossed time and space to get us where we're at today. And it really blows my mind.
Yes, everything that is a culmination of the things that came before it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had to, you know, this kind of goes all the way back to the beginning of the show. We were talking about the 100th monkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where we kind of draw off the collective experiences. And, you know, every scientific discovery ever made is a culmination of all the work of all that all the other scientists did leading up to that. Because there had to be a whole bunch of errors and false, you know, no, we're sure the Earth is flat. You know, I mean, there had to be all kinds of that kind of stuff go on for a long time to get to the point where, oh, well, let's build a telescope, you know, so we can see in the outer space. Or let's, you know, there had to be a whole bunch of, everything we get right now is a thanks to a whole bunch of mistakes that were made by other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I don't want to consider myself a mistake, but that's okay. But so you're right. You're right. There has to been a lot of groundwork. There had to been a lot, and there's a lot of that's happening now, you know, today. And evolution is one of those things that the humans also experience, not just plants, not just other creatures on this planet. As humans, we're also evolving energetically, spiritually. Our bodies are changing that we can't even understand what's happening because it's just not within our conscience to understand at the moment. But you know, and I've been told this by other practitioners and other holistic people and metaphysicians that sometimes the cancer within us is also the evolution of the human spirit, the human body changing. You know, and some people it becomes very evident and it becomes very profound. It's your body fighting you. You know, so it's really interesting when you think about that, you know, the mutations, the changing and the cells in your body that don't change, that don't want to change, or they're destroyed or restructured, whatever. It's interesting that it makes you wonder, you know, are we evolving? Are we postponing evolvement? Are we supposed to transition? When we pass our cells on to the next generation, are they becoming stronger? Are they connecting? Or, you know, it's really, really fascinating when you start going in depth and you start going deep into those little crevices about life, what it means to be human, what it means to be alive, you know, what happens. That one cell organism, two cells, and combining and expanding and expanding and expanding. And so, you know, I find it very intriguing.
Yes. Yes, because we don't know. There's so much going on and so much changing and shifting that, I mean, it's hard to keep touch with, you know, what's going on and what's, keeping on top of everything. And we're transforming from the 3D to the 5D reality, and it's like our physical bodies are transforming as much as, you know, our spiritual and emotional physical selves. I mean, I'm trying to find a really, really good post I saw the other day. But it's, yeah, there's just so much shifting and stuff. And I think I found this really good.
Did you find it?
Yes. As soon as it loads here. Okay, this is one of my... there's a lot of people that put energy posts and readings and stuff out there, but there's some people that are really, really attuned, I think, and really have their finger on what's going on. So I really like this person. Her name is Elizabeth Peru, and she's like an astrologer and a general energy thing. Sometimes she doesn't talk about astrology and all in her blogs, but she's really into the ascension process and all the energy changes and everything. And you can subscribe to her on Facebook, and she has a tip-off global energy forecast that is really good. But I just wanted to read a little bit of this one from the other day. It just really hit home with me. It says, can you feel the fragmented energy right now? And this was posted on May 1st. The next 24 hours are challenging. Interesting what you went through this weekend. I spoke last week of the shifting paradigms we are all experiencing. you may have noticed you're having waking outer body experiences.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're totally becoming the observer of your life rather than being the everyday human living in it. Yes, have you noticed feeling less attached? Since the March-April eclipses, we have let go of so much old toxic energy that was weighing us down. We are now less attached to things. We are experiencing and letting experiences wash over us rather than becoming consumed. I think those all played into a lot of the mm-hmm. stuff you talked about at the beginning that mm-hmm. you went through this weekend. Old cords cut. Soul is taking down some major notes as the observer of your human life. The upshot is we have cut some huge cords, and I urge you not to be concerned about where you are heading. It may feel like you are wandering around in limbo land right now. I totally resonate with that.
Yeah, I just
agree. You are simply experiencing what it feels like to walk consciously with a foot in spirit and one in the physical. Do you like this new world? It's what we've been waiting for. Yeah, so that was...
Is that your question?
I don't know.
No, I know what you're saying. I know what she's saying.
But yeah, it's very... Things are just weird, right? I mean, it is. It's like I'm seeing so many posts from people that's like their energy is just weird. Like, I don't find the same things. I'm not drawn to the same things.
You make a good point.
I have things to do, but it's like...
Yeah.
A lot of them just don't seem important.
And I know
it's
what
like
you mean.
I can feel like a lot of stuff. I feel like I've had surgery like multiple times over the last month or two.
Yeah, what stimulated you maybe
yes.
a week ago doesn't stimulate you now.
Yes.
I could tell. I know what you're saying. I know what you mean. And you can't go back to that old energy as much as you'd like to because it's comfortable.
Right.
It's really uncomfortable to even try to go back. It's like trying to go back in your square peg, trying to fit into a triangle peg, you
right.
know? You
as much as I try to force myself to do some mm-hmm. things like I used to. It's like I physically am not allowed
mm-hmm.
to do those or to resonate with certain things or whatnot. And it's like, it's very disconcerting because it's like, am I dead or something? And like nobody told me
Well, it's like going into the Twilight Zone for me.
Yeah.
For me, it's like going into these little pockets of parallel universes and going, where am I? I catch myself going, what is this? What's going on here? Like, I was looking at street signs and just looking for anything, any clues to keep mm-hmm. me on track, but it almost like everything's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really weird. I can't explain it, but it's just like really bizarre. Like, my whole life is completely different.
Yeah.
From just... January.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I'm like, whew, this is like
January seems like a billion years
ago. Yep.
One of my favorite comedians, Stephen Wright, and he's a Sagittarius too. But one of his good lines is like, I woke up the other day and everything in my apartment had been stolen and replaced with an exact replica. And it's like, man, that's what it feels like. It's like it's really hard to attach to anything or to stay focused or to
yeah.
It's like everything just feels like really weird.
We're gonna wake up and there's gonna be somebody else laying next to us.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of feels sometimes.
Or we'll wake up looking at ourselves.
Yeah. Hey, what are you doing? When did you have long hair?
Right.
No, you're right. I do feel that. I feel like it's... And to be funny, like, I wasn't here this weekend. I felt so out of... I felt so, like... I don't know, almost disconnected, lost. Almost like... I'm like, dude, man, where are my friends? You know, like...
Right.
Where is that support group? Where are the people
right.
that I... You know, I'm like, I'm around strangers.
Right.
I'm talking about my family.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Because they have no clue who I am, what I am, how they don't experience me the way you guys do, and I don't experience them the way I experience you guys. So... And I love them to death, but it's like we have anything in common to
right.
some degree,
right?
Except that we're bloodlines, we're family, you know. That we,
right.
you know, we don't have that deep connection that we all share,
right?
So we're just about out of time.
No.
So unfortunately, that's how it goes. And in this world, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight or this afternoon. Tomorrow we have the Gypsy Wagon with Don Thompson at noon. So tune into that. And then we have a Spontaneous Spirit Talk on Thursday, and Throwback Thursday as well. And then we have Friday, Mark the Rabbit Hole at 11.
At 11. 11
a.m.
for now.
And then
with Heather Renee Horton.
Heather Renee Horton. And then we have Todd in Mud Todd Midnight.
This his
Friday.
Fourth anniversary show?
I think that was last week.
That was last week.
It might be this week. Well, either way, he'll be on.
Okay.
So, much love, guys. Take care. Peace out. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for tuning in.